Attention, attention, this is History Lost in Time.
And welcome to the History Lost in Time podcast, the podcast that is available in both English and German. In episode 39, I will talk about the first class of dreadnought battleships of the German Navy, the ships of the Nassau class.
The topic of this episode.
This episode is part of my series regarding German battleships.
Political agenda and background.
None.
The sources that were used.
I will use the same sources as in the other battleship episodes. The sources in short. Admiral Scheer, Deutschlands Hochseeflotte im Weltkrieg, Germany's High Seas Fleet During the World War, published by Verlag August Scherl, Berlin, probably 1919, date of the foreword. Ulrich Israel, Jürgen Gebauer, Panzerschiffe um 1900, translation Ironclads around 1900, published by Brandenburgisches Verlagshaus Berlin, 1998. Günter Kroschel, August Ludwig Evers, Die deutsche Flotte 1848 bis 1945, translation The German Fleet 1848 to 1945, published by Verlag Lohse Eising, Wilhelmshaven, 1962, Third Improved Edition, 1964. Hans-Jürgen Hansen, Die Schiffe der deutschen Flotten 1848 bis 1945, translation The Ships of the German Fleets 1848 to 1945, published by Verlag Bechtermünz, licensed version for the Weltbild Verlag, Augsburg 1998. And as usual, Wikipedia. The battleships of the Nassau class were the German response to the British HMS Dreadnought, which was commissioned in 1906. The first big-gun battleship with turbines instead of conventional engines. However, design work for the Nassau class started in 1903, after the British had made a step between pre-dreadnoughts and dreadnoughts with the Lord Nelson class. The old-fashioned pre-dreadnoughts were usually equipped with a low amount of large-caliber guns and a large amount of secondary guns with different calibers. The Lord Nelson class was a step between those two types, as its secondary armament was massive. The ships of this class were equipped with 4 305mm guns and 10 234mm secondary guns. As the German Navy used 240mm and 280mm guns as main armament at the time, the difference between the German main armament guns and the British secondary guns was rather small. This made designing a new class of powerful battleships a necessity. The Nassau class went through several design phases. In the beginning, it was planned to build a ship very similar to the Lord Nelson class. It was supposed to be equipped with 4 280mm guns and 8 210mm secondary guns. However, such a design wouldn't have been much better than the current ships of the Braunschweig and Deutschland class. Emperor Wilhelm II personally intervened in the design process and submitted several of his own proposals. After a very long design process with a lot of different designs that were influenced by new developments in other countries and the naval battles of the Russo-Japanese War in 1905, the final design was accepted by Wilhelm II in March 1906. The Russo-Japanese War of 1905 and especially the naval battle of Tsushima were of very high importance for naval forces worldwide. Contrary to the doctrine at the time that said that naval battles happened at close ranges of 1 to 3 kilometers, salvos were fired from very large distances at Tsushima and hits were scored. The effect of large caliber guns, for example the 305mm guns of Japanese battleships, was much more devastating than the combined effects of the secondary batteries. On page 111 of the Israel Gebauer book, the Russian Captain Semyonov is quoted with these words. At the same time, the characteristic sharp impact sounded nearby, accompanied by the grinding sound of tearing iron again and again. These were no longer 15cm shells, but really big ones again. The people were once again seized by panic. They heard nothing and rushed down. While the secondary batteries suffered because of the many different calibers used, the insufficient aiming systems and the fact that many shots bounced off the heavy armor, it was the heavy artillery that decided the battle. New technologies like torpedoes and radios were used. Torpedo protection systems, basically non-existent on German battleships at the time, now were a necessary requirement. And on a large battlefield that was characterized by long distances and lots of smoke, old-school communication with signal flags and hand signals was no longer possible. Radios were a necessary requirement as well. Plus, the home base also wanted to be informed quickly about the result of a battle, which was only possible by radio. The consequence of that was the need for radio listening services and encrypted communication. Before taking a closer look at the Nassau class, let's first check out two direct competitors. The leading naval nation was still Great Britain. After HMS Dreadnought, the British had built the very similar Bellerophon class, and following that, the St. Vincent class from 1907 to 1910. This class consisted of the three battleships HMS St. Vincent, HMS Collingwood, and HMS Vanguard. These were basically slightly improved and enlarged Bellerophon ships, which served from 1910 to 1922 with the Royal Navy. They displaced around 20,000 tons, had a length of 163.4 meters, a width of 25.7 meters, and a draft of 8.5 meters. The turbines produced 24,500 horsepower, which allowed the ships a maximum speed of 21 knots. Their range was 12,800 kilometers or 7,900 miles. The crews had a maximum strength of 835 men. The ships were armed with 10 305 mm guns with a maximum range of 19.4 kilometers. Just like on HMS Dreadnought, three turrets were on the center line of the ship, one at the front, two at the back, and two turrets were on the sides, the so-called wings. The secondary armament consisted of 20 102 mm guns. On top of that, there were three torpedo launchers. The US, France, and Russia still built pre-dreadnoughts or semi-dreadnoughts from 1907 to 1910. True dreadnoughts were still being developed. One class of semi-dreadnoughts were the French Danton ships. Between 1907 and 1911, six of these ships were built in France: Condorcet, Danton, Diderot, Mirabeau, Vergniaud, and Voltaire. The last of these ships was decommissioned in 1937. The Dantons displaced 18,500 tons, had a length of 146.6 meters, a width of 25.8 meters, and a draft of 8.4 meters. Their turbines produced 22,500 horsepower, which allowed the ships a top speed of 19.25 knots. The crews consisted of 25 officers and 831 sailors. The main armament consisted of four 305 mm guns. What made these ships semi-dreadnoughts was the super heavy secondary battery with 12 240 mm guns. So more than the firepower of a heavy cruiser, which was usually equipped with eight 203 mm guns. On top of that, there were 16 75 mm and eight 47 mm guns, as well as two torpedo launchers. A Danton was unable to keep up with a British dreadnought battleship, however it outclassed a classic pre-dreadnought battleship in terms of speed and firepower. So what about the Nassau ships? They were significantly larger than their predecessors. They had a length of around 146 meters, a width of around 27 meters, and a draft of around 8.8 meters. They displaced 18,873 tons. That made them too large to pass the Kaiser Wilhelm Canal, which made it necessary to enlarge it, a process which was finished in 1914. In contrast to the British dreadnoughts and the French semi-dreadnoughts, the Nassau-class ships used conventional engines and not turbines due to the high cost. The engines produced 22,000 horsepower, which allowed the ships to reach a theoretical 19 knots. However, in practice, the ships reached a top speed of up to 20.2 knots. Their range was 15,400 kilometers or 9,600 miles at a speed of 12 knots. The crew consisted of 40 officers and 968 sailors. So when it came to size and speed, there were differences between the German, British, and French ships, but no significant ones. The main armament of the Nassau ships consisted of 12 28-centimeter guns in 6 turrets. One turret was at the bow, one was aft. The other 4 were placed in symmetrical fashion on the sides of the ships. They sort of formed a hexagon. Their maximum range was 20.5 kilometers. The secondary armament consisted of 12 15-centimeter guns. For close combat, the ships used 16 8.8-centimeter guns. Finally, the ships were equipped with 6 45-centimeter torpedo launchers. The torpedoes had a range of 6.3 kilometers at a speed of 26.5 knots. In comparison with the older Deutschland class, their defensive armor had been improved, especially below the waterline. In terms of torpedo protection, the Nassau class ships were massively superior to their predecessors. In terms of raw firepower, the Nassaus could keep up with the British ships and they had a slight advantage over the semi-dreadnoughts. When you look at the armor, you can already see the tendency of the Germans to place more value on protecting their ships, while the British focused more on firepower. Due to the main gun turrets placed on the sides of the ships, the Nassau-class ships didn't enjoy the same stability as the older battleships of the Deutschland-class. This was partially improved by modifications later. However, the ships were still very maneuverable and rather small when compared with battleships of other nations. 4 ships were built, the SMS Nassau, the SMS Westfalen, the SMS Rheinland and the SMS Posen. The construction was performed under strict secrecy. Construction began in summer 1907 for all 4 ships. They were launched between spring and winter 1908 and commissioned between autumn 1909 and spring 1910. The Nassau was built at the Imperial Shipyard in Wilhelmshaven, the Germania Shipyard in Kiel was busy with the Posen, the Vulcan shipyard in Stettin had received the order for the Rhineland, and the Weser shipyard in Bremen had been tasked with building the Westfalen. All 4 ships served in the 1st Squadron. Before World War I, their service consisted of maneuvers and voyages to other countries. At the beginning of the war, the 1st Squadron served in the North Sea. The plan of the German Navy was to entice parts of the British fleet to leave their harbors in order to overwhelm them with superior force, thus slowly changing the balance of power in the North Sea in Germany's favor. Cruisers and battlecruisers were supposed to take the lead and provoke the British by bombarding the coastline, while battleships remained in the rear. The ships of the Nassau class participated several times in such missions, but never met the enemy. In August 1915, the ships of the Nassau class were transferred to the Baltic Sea in order to support advances into the Bay of Riga. On August 16, 1915, the ships SMS Nassau and SMS Posen engaged the Russian battleship Slava, which had fought against older Braunschweig-class battleships a few days earlier. The Nassau and the Posen scored 3 hits on the Slava and forced it to withdraw. During the course of this mission, the 2 battleships were able to sink 2 Russian gunboats, however the mission had to be aborted due to danger from submarines. All 4 battleships of the Nassau class participated in the Battle of Jutland in early summer 1916. The 1st Squadron formed the center of the German fleet. When the battleship fleets met each other on May 31st around 1800 hours, the Nassau ships opened fire on British light cruisers and destroyers. The Posen participated in the sinking of the British destroyer HMS Nestor, the SMS Nassau scored 1 hit on the HMS Southampton. After that, the Nassau ships participated in the 2 battle about turns ordered by Admiral Scheer. SMS Westfalen was lead ship of the fleet for a while. At 21:20, the SMS Nassau and the SMS Posen again opened fire on the British battlecruisers HMS Princess Royal and HMS Indomitable, scoring 1 hit on the Princess Royal. Shortly afterwards, the Nassau and the Westfalen fired on several British light cruisers and forced them to withdraw after they had failed in scoring any torpedo hits on the German battleships. Later, the SMS Westfalen sank the destroyers HMS Tipperary, HMS Fortune and HMS Turbulent and damaged the HMS Broke. At around midnight, the SMS Nassau rammed the British destroyer HMS Spitfire, which suddenly appeared right in front of her. The Nassau tried to hit the British destroyer with its forward 28-centimeter guns, however the gun barrels couldn't be depressed down enough, so the shells flew over the Spitfire. However, the blast wave from the guns caused massive destruction on the British ship. Both ships survived the ramming, but were damaged. The Spitfire then managed to disengage from the German battleship. The Nassau's top speed was reduced to 15 knots after the ram, and she was hit twice by British 102mm guns. However, the hits only caused superficial damage. Around the same time, the SMS Posen accidentally rammed the German light cruiser SMS Elbing. The Elbing was so severely damaged that she had to be abandoned and scuttled. The SMS Posen remained undamaged. Around 1 a.m., the SMS Posen engaged several British destroyers. Together with other battleships, she sank the HMS Fortune and scored several hits on the HMS Porpoise and the HMS Ardent. At around 1 a.m., the SMS Nassau, the SMS Rheinland, and several other battleships of the Helgoland and Kaiser class stumbled upon the isolated British battlecruiser HMS Black Prince. The combined firepower of the German battleships was too much for the British ship, which was destroyed by an enormous explosion. Following this, the German fleet withdrew. At around 3 a.m., British destroyers again tried to torpedo the German battleships, but their attacks failed. The ships of the Nassau class survived the battle with minor to moderate damage. Due to the collision, the SMS Nassau was moderately damaged, while the SMS Posen hadn't been damaged at all. All four ships had fired dozens of shots from their main and their secondary guns. The SMS Nassau had fired her main guns the most, 106 times to be exact. The SMS Westfalen had fired her secondary guns 182 times. The SMS Rheinland fired the least shots, 35 main gunshots and 26 secondary gunshots. In August 1916, all four Nassau ships took part in another advance of the fleet. While the ships didn't engage the British Grand Fleet again, the Westfalen was damaged by a torpedo from the British submarine E-23. The ship suffered flooding, 800 tons of water entered the ship. However, the torpedo protection had worked, and the ship remained operational. There were several more operations in autumn 1916 without any major consequences. In December 1916, the Nassau ran aground at the Elbe estuary, however she was able to free herself. Repairs were completed in January 1917. 1917 was a rather quiet year. The four Nassau ships did not take part in the naval operation in the Baltic, Operation Albion, but were used in a defensive role in the Baltic Sea. In February 1918, the SMS Westfalen and the SMS Rheinland were again used in the Baltic, this time to support the Finns in their war of independence against Russia. In late March, the SMS Posen also joined this operation. However, there were no coastal bombardments. The ships supported troop transports and landing operations. On April 11th, SMS Rheinland ran aground and suffered severe damage and severe flooding. She was only freed in July after removing more than 6,000 tons of material from her. All main battery guns and a large portion of her armor had been removed. The stripped-down ship was not restored but used as a floating barracks. In April 1918, the SMS Nassau joined another operation in the North Sea that was supposed to confront the British fleet, but again the Germans failed to engage the enemy. In August 1918, the SMS Westfalen, which had just returned from Finland, was removed from active service and instead used as a training ship after she had suffered engine damage without enemy contact. The Nassau ships were supposed to join the fleet action of late October 1918. Admiral Scheer was planning to confront the British fleet one last time in order to improve the peace conditions for Germany at the last minute. However, the German sailors were convinced that it was planned to sacrifice them shortly before the end of the war for the honor of the German Navy. Mutinies aboard the ships caused the operation to be cancelled, and these mutinies contributed to the sailors' uprising. At the end of the war, Germany was forced to transfer all modern ships of its navy to Scapa Flow. The ships of the Nassau class remained in Germany, and together with the slightly more modern ships of the Helgoland class, they were supposed to form the backbone of the post-war German navy. The Allies didn't want the ships, as they didn't use turbines as engines and were therefore rather old-fashioned. After the scuttling of the German fleet in Scapa Flow, the Allies demanded these ships as compensation, though, so the German Navy was forced to use even older, completely obsolete battleships for the post-war era. The SMS Nassau was ceded to Japan, the SMS Westfalen, SMS Posen, and SMS Rheinland were ceded to Great Britain. The Japanese had no use for Nassau, so the ship was transferred directly to the Netherlands and scrapped there in June 1920. The SMS Westfalen was transferred to Britain and scrapped in Birkenhead in 1924. The stripped-down SMS Rheinland was scrapped in late 1920 in the Netherlands. The ship's bell is located at the Military History Museum of the Bundeswehr in Dresden. The SMS Posen was transferred to Scotland in 1920, however she was ultimately scrapped in the Netherlands in 1922.
A few finishing words.
The ships of the Nassau class were the first modern battleships of the German Navy that could compete with the dreadnought battleships of the British. They were used intensely during World War I and proved themselves at the Battle of Jutland. Due to their old-fashioned engines, they were supposed to become part of the post-war German Navy. After the scuttling of the German fleet in Scapa Flow, they had to be ceded to the Allies as compensation. However, the Allies had no use for the old-fashioned battleships and more or less scrapped them immediately. This prevented a possible second career in the Reichsmarine and the Kriegsmarine.
Thank you. This was History Lost in Time.